recall you telling me that story the last time that we were here.
Now, there's two pilots, and these are men who are strong believers. They've repeated this story numerous times, and it's quite an interesting fact, because that ability to reverse it such an almost instantaneously is a frequent observation, and that's one way to identify these things from conventional objects.
Now, there was a sighting, again, of a farmer, a young man, that also had a conversation with some of these saucer people. And I think it was in that conversation where they asked him quite a bit about, that was in New York somewhere, I believe.
Yes, Newark Valley.
Newark Valley.
Yeah, Binghamton.
And you have talked with him, haven't you?
Yes, I did.
Whereby they had quite a discussion, lasted quite a while, on agriculture and fertilizer and that sort of thing.
Right.
And then he went up and put a sack of fertilizer on the hill and came back the next morning and it was gone.
Right.
And that part of it. In this conversation that they related, the fact that something was going to happen the first part of December of 1965 or 66 or something.
No, I don't believe this was the case where that was related, though. I have heard it from someone that in the early part of December there's supposed to be a mass landing in Brazil.
Yes, this is what I wanted to find out.
Well, it wasn't in that...
Could you give me some of the details of this conversation or what took place?
Well, that in that conversation with the farmer, this was not stated about this mass landing in Brazil.
Well,
that came from some other source. I don't recall what it is. Do you know where that came from, Ed?
I've forgotten. I apparently heard it from the same source you did, but and I don't remember offhand myself where it was, but this sighting in Brazil involved a craft and an occupant, variously described at different times as being from 28 to 36 inches tall, who spoke with this person, this witness, in Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
And they had quite a lengthy conversation, and one of the things that was supposed to have been stated during that conversation was that that his people, the spaceman's people, were planning a mass landing on December 3rd of this year. However, this would not be, should not be considered an invasion. It would be designed to show that they were there.
Mm-hmm.
That the witness should not feel any fear whatever, because the spaceman's people feel very friendly towards the earthbound humans.
Mm-hmm.
However, these landings have been predicted in the past.
And nothing happened.
I'll be willing to bet that December 3rd will come and go like any other day.
Well, I was going to, you know, pay particular attention to all news reports on December the 3rd and December the 4th.
I'm sure we all will.
Let's all watch and see what happens.
Yeah, and find out. I'd be probably, of course, they'll have all sorts of photographers and cameramen waiting around all day various parts of Brazil where they said they're going to land, waiting for them to take their pictures.
Well, I guess they won't have to wait around. If they're going to come down to show people that they're there, they'll do it in a manner that will be unmistakable.
If it comes to pass.
It
might even be rather spectacular.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me take a little break here, and then we'll get back to our discussion. As a matter of fact, open up our telephones, too. Telephone number is Devonshire 8, DE8 6510. These two gentlemen, I might add, are very serious about this. We're not playing around or kidding or being facetious or anything of the sort. And Steve Putnam would like anyone who has sighted anything that they think might be a UFO to let him know about it and quite possibly give him their name and address so that he might talk to them about it, because in this way he can get maybe four or five people that saw the same thing.
Before we have too many people hanging on the line, Fred, I would like to mention a little bit about some interesting light phenomena associated with UFOs.
Okay, we'll get back to that in just a moment. Okay. All right, we're back once again, and Steve Putnam wanted to say something. Steve, what was that?
Well, in regard to light phenomena associated with these UFOs, after looking at a great number of reports, there are certain things which seem to become evident, and one is that the UFO can make the atmosphere surrounding it glow, but unlike the beam from a searchlight, this glow can proceed a finite distance from the UFO and then stop. This glowing air, I assume it's air that's glowing, can be so brilliant And the line of demarcation between the glowing air and the normal air can be so sharp that it, in effect, it produces a pseudo-surface. So when you're looking at one of these objects, you're not necessarily seeing the object itself. And this accounts for some of the varieties in shape which these things take. There are several photographs of UFOs that are available, and many of them are remarkable by the fact that they lack the true symmetry of a manufactured object. There's a certain amount of unevenness to the surfaces. Even though they are apparently circular, they are distorted nevertheless. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently what is being observed and photographed in many cases is the surface of this glowing air that's surrounding the object. Now, this can account for the changes of shape that people have observed. I remember talking to one boy who said the object came down, it looked like a ball, but when it neared the ground, it flattened out like a door. Now, at the time, that was, to me, most unbelievable. But since then, there have been many reports where people have observed these objects changing shape. Mm-hmm. A famous one is the sightings up at Goose Bay, Labrador, where they were observed from aircraft to be changing shape. Yeah. But it's easy to conceive of that if this, when it's simply a glow, and the orientation of this glow can probably be changed just by changing the force field that's producing it.
Okay. Is that?
Well, that's one thing about the light phenomenon. Another one mm-hmm. is that in many cases, people who observe these things close at hand remark on their extreme brilliance and also remark on the fact that it did not illuminate the surrounding area particularly, as it should have.
Just that one spot?
No, it didn't illuminate anything. They saw the object. It's just like you looking at a searchlight shining at you. And yet you look down at the ground, and the ground is still dark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's evident that what you're seeing is not ordinary light.
Yeah.
And yet it's providing a visual stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another characteristic that these objects have.
Our guests, Ed Fogg, Steve Putnam from the New England UFO Study Group. And whether you're a believer or a non-believer, we invite you to call and... If you think you've sighted something, I'm sure these two gentlemen would be more than interested in knowing about it so they can check it out. Let me see, I turn my switch off. WNAC, comment. Hello.
I saw something that it didn't strike me as a shooting star. I mean, I've seen shooting stars, but I was in Denham at the time that I saw it. I only saw it for a brief instant, but it didn't appear to be a shooting star. I mean, I believe in flying saucers, but I'm not that... open to it. I mean, I saw it, but I didn't think that it
was... Well, what was unusual about it that made you think it wasn't a shooting star?
It was very brilliant, and it was traveling at a tremendous rate of speed. But usually a shooting star is sort of higher up in the sky, and you can see, you know, pieces, fragmentations usually falling off of it.
Yes.
This was just a solid streak, and there was no contrail at all. It was a completely bright object, and it did go down below the horizon. It was heading... In, from where I was in Denham, in an easterly direction towards the ocean.
And what time of day was this?
This is at night.
And what time?
I believe it was approximately about 9:30. And it was Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Was it traveling horizontally? Or,
No, it seemed to be descending. I mean, it was traveling at a very high rate of speed, but it seemed to be descending down towards the earth, but I mean, it went beyond the horizon, and I didn't see it.
Yes. And what color was it?
A very bright, you know, brilliant white color.
I see. Well, it's hard to say just what that could have been.
Mm. But I believe it's the same thing that woman saw myself.
Mm-hmm. Does that take care of your questions for you, sir?
I'd just like to ask is there any way that I can get some information from his organization, if they have any, you know, reading material or anything that they can suggest or anything?
Well, did you get the name of that book we mentioned?
Which one is that? The one by George Adamski?
No, Anatomy of a Phenomenon by Jacques Vallée.
Yes, I read that. I also read a book. I believe it was written by Major Keogh. I think he's in NICAP.
Yes, those are good books. All of those by Major Keogh.
And I've read two of Mr. Adamski's books, and I found them a little bit way out. But I still believe in flying saucers, just not Mr. Adamski's brand.
Mm-hmm.
But could I write to you people and get any information on it?
Well, we don't publish any general information on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
We just have lists of books and sources of information.
All you can get is, you can possibly drop, how would he find out about your next meeting? Would you like to go to a meeting?
Yes, possibly, I would.
Mm-hmm. Well, our next meeting will be the third Sunday in January.
Third Sunday in January.
At the Post 95 American Legion.
In Quincy.
In Quincy, right, at the corner of Revere Road and Mechanic Street.
Okay.
All right?
At 2 p.m.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Come back. Pardon me, it's a little bit past midnight. You're listening to Comment. My name is Fred Gale. Our two guests, Mr. Ed Fogg, Mr. Steve Putnam, members of the New England UFO Study Group. Our telephone number is Devonshire 8, DE86510. And we will take some more telephone calls in just a moment.
C, Redline 7000, Paramount Pictures and Technicolor.
Redline 7000, the name of the movie, coming November 10th to the Community Theater in Dedham.
Start every day with your companion station, 68 WNAC.
The bargaining voice of Pete Johnson has everyone in Boston searching for something to sell, swap, or buy on antique auction, weekdays from 2:15 to 4.
Hello, this is Pete Johnson, and I'd like to invite you to come to Boston's antique auction, Monday through Friday at 2:15. Maybe we'll discover that a dusty book you have hidden away in the closet is worth a lot of money. Or maybe you're looking for a particular type of early American harvest table, and we'll find one for you. Whether you want to buy or sell, I think we're all going to have a lot of fun at the Antique Auction, weekdays at 2:15 on your companion station 68, WNAC. Join your neighbors and me, won't you?
All right, we're back once again with Mr. Fogg, Mr. Putnam, trying to find out something that I think I asked you the last time, and let's take just a moment, not a long, drawn-out thing, but do you find that a lot of people are afraid to relate experiences or something that they may think in the back of their mind that they cited that might have been some sort of a flying saucer, but they say to themselves, well, if I tell anybody about it, they'll think I'm a nut. So they don't want to come forward with it.
Well, that does seem to be the usual case. I found that about one person in 100 will report their sighting to the news media. So that there are a tremendous number of sightings that no one ever gets to hear about.
Really?
Right.
One in 100. Where do you get those figures now?
It's just my own observation.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that.
I've talked to a great number of people, and...
That's true.
Very seldom do I run across anybody who has notified the newspapers about these.
Well, you've been talking to people for how long now about this?
For 15 years.
15 years. How come you haven't written a book? See?
Well, I don't think I have the time to do it. That's about what it amounts to. I think I have the information.
You must have file cabinets filled with material.
Yes, I do.
It would seem to me that you know, everybody else is writing books about it. Some are a little way out, others are.
Of course, it's nice to wait. I like to wait until I really have something to say on the subject. Most books are repetitions of observations, but I would like to come to a few conclusions.
I mean, after 15 years of face-to-face confrontations with people that have sighted objects, it would seem to me that you would know as much about it as most anyone.
We're talking about the lack of reports from people. I also find that people don't tell many of their friends about these sightings either, because after telling two or three persons and getting that look, are you crazy or something?
Right.
They quit talking about them. So I make it a point to ask everyone point blank that I encounter if they know of anyone who has seen any UFOs,
mm-hmm.
because I've brought out a great number of reports just by doing that, because
mm-hmm.
nobody...
And I can see the other section saying, that Steve Putnam's a real nut. I said hello to him, and he asked me if I know of anyone who sighted a UFO.
Well, it was a rather noncommittal statement. I didn't say I believed in them or anything of that nature to a stranger, but
That starts the conversation going if they have any information to relate.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not only have I found that people report these to, or tell very few of their friends about anything that they may have seen, they are, in most cases, they tell even less of their family about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even within the family group, huh?
Right.
Well, that's interesting. Because, I was interested to find out about that particular aspect of it.
Well, and I found also that in most cases where children observe these objects, that very seldom do the parents give them any credence.
Yeah.
But they're just taken as though they don't know what they've seen and told to forget it.
Yeah, well, I would imagine so with kids, because they have great imaginations, you know, anyway.
But there are a great many observations locked up in the minds of these youngsters that I'd like to hear about.
Yeah. Well, let's take some more telephone calls here on comments. WNAC, comment, hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I have two questions, and one of them is about the Kehoe's book that was just mentioned by the last person who was on.
Yeah.
I read that quite a few years ago, and I don't remember it too accurately, but I do remember that he mentioned at least one case of radar sightings, and I believe it was supposed to be over Washington, and I think he claimed that there were three separate radar fixes on the same object. That is, they were able to correlate the three radar sightings and determine that they were in fact the same object, and he claimed that the approximate speed of these things was somewhere in the range of 15 to 20,000 miles an hour, and obviously at that time we didn't have anything that would travel that fast. And I've always taken that as being about the strongest evidence I know of, that I've heard of. If, in fact, it's true, I'm wondering whether your guests think that claim of Kehoe's has been established. I mean, that might, I suppose, be classified information or something that he claimed to know about and that hasn't been able to be verified.
Well, I've heard from numerous sources about these radar fixes on UFOs. I don't know if that particular claim of Kehoe's has been substantiated, but...
Right. Well, the reason I was interested is that the claim was that there were three fixes on the same object, and I understand that that's about the best you can get with radar. If you've got three that show a perfect correlation, that's the best sort of evidence you could have. At any rate...
Yes, well, that certainly pinpoints the location of the object, for sure.
Yeah, right, right. The other question is about... the incident that occurred in Texas last spring, I think, sometime. It showed up in the papers once, and they told us about it. Nothing was said about it afterwards. There was a local sheriff who was driving all along a country road or something out there, and he heard an explosion and drove off in the direction of it. And he could see down the road a distance something that looked like apparently a small rocket. And a couple of figures, I don't think they gave the size, standing around it, near it. And then the road that he was traveling on dipped, and the object went out of sight. And when he came back up again, the figures that were standing beside it had disappeared, but the rocket or whatever it was still there. And as he approached it, it blasted off. And when he got there, he said it practically disappeared instantaneously. And when he got there, there was a phenomenon, something like the one that you mentioned that occurred somewhere else. I don't remember where it was. There was a scorched earth.
Yes, in Florida.
Right. And there were also these three indentations in the ground that looked as though they might have been the legs that were supporting it. And apparently there were a couple of... there's an Air Force base down there and a couple of other installations, and they were all informed about it, and they all came over and checked it, and apparently, supposedly, they all verified that at least that much of the information was accurate, that there was a scorched ground and these three indentations in the earth. And I'm wondering if the government has ever tried to explain that one away.
I don't recall what the government explanation was for that, but...
presumably, it's not. At least, it's not an astronomical phenomenon.
That would be rather difficult, I guess.
Yeah, right. That's what, in fact, the AP, in their writing up the story, they said that this one ought to give the government some trouble.
There was one case.
Never heard anything about it again.
There was one case where the government came out and said that what these people had seen were certain planets. And an astronomer in that area said that those planets that the government was referring to were on the other side of the Earth. Which made the government statement very ridiculous.
Yeah.
The government isn't loath to come out and make a claim of that nature, though, and it seems very necessary to them for some reason to always have something to offset you might say, the effect of the sighting.
Yes.
All right, sir, does that answer your call for you?
Yes, it does.
Good. Okay. Good night. WNAC, comment. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. This is Fred Gale.
Yes.
We're on the air.
Let me just turn my radio down here.
All right, good.
I'm going the papers. I believe there was an article about the hills of New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
I missed it, and I was wondering if you could have any comment on it and where it can be obtained, if it's in the wrong material.
Well, this article just appeared in the Boston Traveler. It ran for a week, and I think it was last week. That,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. For 5 days, from Monday through Friday, by John Luttrell.
Right.
Well, this is about Barney and Betty Hill from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. But it's that's the only place that it's written up at present, that I understand.
Yeah, could you give me a brief rundown just what did happen? I missed the whole serial window.
Well, quite a bit happened, but briefly, they were coming home from Canada when they saw a red light in the sky. And it seemed to be following them. Then they stopped at a place to eat on the way home and noted the time there. And when they got home, they also noted the time. And from this place they stopped to where they arrived home, their traveling time was 2 hours longer than normally it is. And they couldn't understand why. Then the Mrs. Hill started getting these peculiar dreams about being taken aboard a spacecraft and so forth. And these dreams kept repeating, and they were always similar. So at this time, she came to one of our meetings, she and her husband, and related the whole, everything that they knew about this, as well as the dream. Then, after that, they went to this Dr. Simon, a psychiatrist, I believe, and by means of hypnosis, he tried to extract from their minds exactly what had happened.
How was this all blanked out to begin with if she was on a spaceship or something?
Well, according to the, as I understand it, according to her dreams, she was told by the spacemen that they would not remember anything about this. And she insisted that she would. And they said, well, perhaps you will, but certainly your husband will never remember anything that has gone on. So, by means of hypnosis, apparently they were able to break down that barrier, which apparently was a previous state of hypnosis. But it was very interesting.
It's all authenticated, in a sense.
Well, as I understand it, the hypnotic sessions tended to substantiate this whole occurrence.
In other words, she couldn't have faked it or anything. Fake this under hypnosis, could she?
The only way story would be available would be in the papers. No way. You have to get the back issues out of the paper.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And one other question. Wasn't there a summary or something to that effect on UFOs that went to each congressman that was supposed to be secret or for their own use? Is that available?
Well, that's perhaps Mr. Fogg can tell you about that. He has a copy of this report here.
We have a copy of the report, so it is available.
It's right here in front of him.
This is entitled The UFO Evidence, and it's published by the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, which is a private organization led by Major Donald Kehoe from Washington, D.C., and I believe it's available from that organization for $5. If I remember correctly. And the address for NICAP is 1536 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest.
Yep.
Washington 36.
Was this put up by the government printing office, or is this?
No, this was published and printed by NICAP.
By NICAP.
And copies were sent to all congressmen and senators.
I see.
As well as representatives of the news media, yeah, in many cases.
I just tuned in a little while ago, and I heard somebody mention something about this woman in Brookline, and I didn't get all of it, exactly what did happen, because I live right around the Brookline area.
She just related an experience to the two gentlemen here of a sighting, sir. Is that you want? Well, it would be a little. Can you give it to him very briefly, Steve?
Well, she saw the one in Brookline was simply shooting what appeared like a shooting star which started high in the heavens and came perfectly straight down.
Perfectly vertically.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. So it's difficult to know just exactly what that was.
Yeah.
She had related something which was much more detailed that occurred 3 years ago, however.
Yeah, this happened in Brookline.
Yes, just the other night, she said.
It happened the other night?
Mm-hmm.
So, because nothing was said, nobody else had seen it.
Well, nobody reports these things. Everybody's looking in the paper to see if anybody else reports them.
Well, you'd think the switchboard would have been jammed at the police station or the fire station or something.
Well, people have been ridiculed very frequently when they've called police stations.
Oh, I'm a firm believer, Sasha. Let me tell you, I am a firm believer.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of crackpots around also that...
Have you had any sightings yourself?
Yes, I have. I saw one twice, actually. I was with my brother. This was definite. It was right... Charles River down the lower basin.
Well, could we get you to give your name to our director, sir? Maybe Mr. Putnam can call you sometime.
Sure.
And you can relate it to him.
This happened a few years back. When I was at Task Force 77,
Was it a detailed observation?
Yes and no. It was 1951, 1952.
Well,
17,500 miles. That was ridiculous, you know.
Uh-huh. Would you give your name to our director, sir? Mr. Putnam will get in touch with you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Good night. WNAC comment. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering if your guest could tell me which part of the sky these objects are most likely to appear. Would it be northeast, south, or west? I have an idea it's west, but I just wanted to make sure.
Well, I can't relate them to any particular part of the sky, because if they were west, then somebody further west would see it in the east. So,
oh, I see. Uh-huh. Well, I thought it might be west, so that's why I...
Well, I think you can... They're just as likely to appear in any direction.
Okay, thank you.
Well,
all right, good night. WNAC comment, hello.
Hello.
Yes?
This is the UFO show there?
Yes, ma'am, this is Fred Gale. You had a question or something?
Well, no, I was going to tell you about some sightings I'd seen.
Oh, well, good.
Two very close ones, and I'll tell you, before July 29th, if you had said too much about UFOs, I'd say, well, maybe... I'm sorry, now I know they exist. The 29th of July, my daughter and I were up in Hampton Falls having coffee with a friend of mine. We started down the road about 11:30 to go home. And it's quite a dark road and woodsy. So there were bright red and white lights streaming to the middle of that road. And I said, well, we'll slow down. There's a car accident here. Well, we get up to where the lights were, and the white lights had gone off, but you could still see the red ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, gee, there's no cars here. Well, where are they? So we stopped. And I said, well, gee, where's the cars? I mean, where are the lights coming from? So Sherry was sitting on the other side of me, you know, and she looked outside, and she looked up. And she says, well, up there. I says, in the air? She says, well, look. So I had to lean over. And then there, hovering about 8 to 10 feet off of the ground, was this oval-shaped thing. Now, I could not see the body of it this time at all. It was just bright green light streaming down on the sides, and there were red ones out, you know, onto the front. And they hit my car, the lights. And we sat there for perhaps 4 or 5 minutes, and the thing was rocking side to side. It had no noise. So, anyways, we were just discussing it, and she got scared, and she was almost in hysterics, and she locked the door, and we did roll the windows up. And she says, it's awful looking. I said, well, maybe it's a plane. She says, well, how come there's no noise? She says, it looks like something out of Fantastic Features. And it's true, it did. It was very, very weird. So then it started rocking faster, and it went up a little. Then it looked like it was going to jump on my car, and it scared me, you know? So we took off. And I made a watch all the way home to see if the thing was anywhere near us. Well, when we came home, we stood out on the lawn. and at what I call a 45-degree angle, we saw this oval object, which was a silvery white, take off and go up into the sky and disappear. It had red, green, and white lights on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we didn't think too much more about it, you know. And I didn't dare tell anybody. And finally, a couple of days later, it bothered me so much. I mean, I just couldn't believe that I'd seen the thing. I told my girlfriend about it. She asked me to call PS Air Force, which I did. And I asked them about balloons and so on and so forth. And I know a few things about them because I've lived near the base here and I've lived near planes down in Massachusetts, you know. So I described it to them. And they told me that it was a UFO. They had to translate that because I didn't know what that meant. It's flying saucer, they called it. So then in September the 16th, my girlfriend and I were out again, just around, you know, looking around. We had started seeing things that didn't look right, so we kept looking, you know, night after night. So anyway, the 16th, I guess it went up to the 17th, it started up at a field here in Route 88 in Hampton Falls, and we saw six of these long red things. We don't know what they were. They were something we hadn't seen before. They fly below tree level. They had an uneven pattern. We saw six of those there. And then we saw, Chris, I don't know if people believe this or not, but stars can walk, and they're not really stars. Not all of them. I don't mean them all. And anyway, we saw all that there. So we took a ride down the road, and my girlfriend said to me, she says, you know, she says, there's two objects following us. And I told her, I said, well, you're foolish. I said, they don't follow. Things can't follow you. And I really didn't believe it, so we stopped the car. There were two objects, and they were large, and you might say that they were large stars, you know? So one kept going with us. The other one seemed to drag back. All right, we get down the corner of Ashbrook Road and this 88 Road, and this thing assumed a different shape. It looked long, with red in the front and red in the back and a little bit of orange. So that's all right. So we went down the street. We kept going. We stopped, and I mean, you have to see it to believe it. This thing stopped when we stopped. When we went fast, it went faster. When we went fast, it just went a little ahead of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it followed us up and down roads. It made, when we turned, and a U-turn in the street, which I did, it went across the, you know, to the other side, my right, and it kept, it was way below tree level. It kept right up with us. So out on 101, you know, Route 101, I stopped the car. And this thing was ahead of me. It went ahead of me. It stopped right in midair, and there was no noise to it. I stopped the car, and we get out on the out underneath, you know, right out of the car on the ground there. And this thing turned and came back at an angle, and it went right over my car. All right, we got a very good view, and I had a camera, which I tried to get a picture of it. I didn't get it come out. But this thing to me, the front of it was oval-shaped. It had what I call either short wings or fins. I don't know which you want to call it. It was long-bodied. And it had, like, in the back, a split, like a, like I call a fin, flat, though. Then underneath of this thing, there was what I call a cabinet or a carriage, whichever you please. And it had square windows in it, which were illuminated. But you couldn't see anything other than a light coming from it and what might have been a ceiling or something, you know? All right, this thing was a dull metal, and it's what I would call a Hammett effect. This thing was no more than 8 to 10 feet over our head. And it was a dull metal. It had lights all over it, larger lights around the edges of it, you know? And it was red, green, and white, and orange lights on that thing. Now, I don't know what it is. We went to PS Air Force again. We called, and they asked us to come up. We did. And,
these two gentlemen are all excited here. They'd love to... they would love to sit down and talk to you about it. Could we get you to give your name to our directors? They could call you sometime.
Yes.
Would that be all right?
Very interested in this.
Well, they are quite interested, I can tell you that.
They're still around here, believe me. I don't care, they are.
There's
over 100 people in this area have seen these things.
Uh-huh. Well, Steve, you any questions? Or?
Well, would you mind telling us what area that is?
This is Hampton, Exeter area.
Hampton, Exeter.
Now, if you remember, there were police and a boy that made the newspapers. I didn't want my name used, period, because, you know, people do think you're not quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I saw this. The first one I saw was July 29th, and I had reported it to Pease a couple of days later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's certainly most interesting, and I wonder if it's, the shape at all relates to what was seen and published, you know.
You mean the Exeter?
The one seen by Mr. Muscarol.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I know him. I know the boy. Well, yeah, the first one was, but I say that this thing can assume different shapes. I don't mean the metal can change. It absolutely cannot.
Yeah.
But by changing the lights, it can look different. We've seen it quite large, right down the head of this street, and a whole bunch of kids have seen it, and neighbors. And I have a girlfriend that is a grown woman, too, and she's been out with me, and we have seen these things many times. The nearest were with Doris and I when it flew over my car, and when Sharon and I stopped by the side of the road, and they were very near.
Do you have any idea at all where this thing might have its home base, perhaps, in that area?
Don't you think I would love to know that? I mean, no, but I'm going to tell you. Well, I'll tell you, 88th Field, I don't care. You can see these things many, many times. And you tell me, when you sit, I mean, you have to sort of study these things, you know? I mean, in the beginning, now, we'd seen other things after that July thing because it bothered me. I mean, I thought I'd lost my mind, really. And I just kept going out and going out. And finally, these things we've seen, it's amazing what they are. I have a daughter that sat with me and saw three so-called stars come right down and take a shape of, so that you could see metal on two of the craft and the other one, the long red thing.
Madam, if you don't stop this, you're going to make a believer out of me.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you tell me this before the 29th of July, I'd say all things are possible, but I want to see it first.
That's what I say.
Now, that's exactly how I felt. But you now, you show me what I saw and tell me where it comes from.
Uh-huh.
And if you can give me a legitimate answer for it, I'll believe you.
Well, that's interesting. Would you hold on so you can give our name, your name to our director, please?
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Good night.